Today, we conclude our series on miracles of how God is still moving today. I am giving thanks to God for each and every one of you who has shared with me over the last number of weeks miracles in your own lives. Do you know there are many, many miracles among us? I'm hopeful that we will be sharing some of those in the days to come as well. There's no doubt that as we have looked at the biblical narrative and our lives today, that our God is a mighty God who is still moving. As we look at how God is moving yesterday and today, we turn to the biblical narrative of the prophet Elijah. Elijah, who has shown God's miracles through the showdown with the prophets of Baal, the life that was given back to the widow's son, and last Sunday, as we talked about the vineyard of Naboth. Even though Elijah had shined brightly as one of the great prophets of the true God, challenges met him at each and every one of those turns. In the lesson we heard today, his very life was threatened, and his soul was bent heavy under caring for God's people, even as they turned away from God. As we renew our conversation with Elijah this morning, he is in deep, deep need of the uplifting and transforming power of God. It was when Elijah felt the most rejected, the most threatened, in the deepest and the darkest place he knew, that God met him. His very life had been threatened by the Queen Jezebel, and he was sure that his ministry and his effectiveness were done. He was ready to curl up under the broom tree. You heard it in the scripture. Let my life be taken from me. There was the place where God met Elijah. And it wasn't at all like Elijah had expected. It wasn't even how God had met him before. Elijah expected it would be in the wind that broke the mountains, and the earthquake, and in the fire. After all, it was just a couple chapters before that God descended in fire, this big showdown with the priest of Baal. But that's not where God was this time. God is always full of surprises. And here the prophet Elijah was lower than low. For even when he sought God, it seemed like God wasn't reaching back to him. So we hear Elijah call out, "I can't do it anymore." And in the stillness of that moment, like the air that hangs after you've put all your vulnerability out to another, like as if the contents of your life, like a purse spilled on the bathroom floor, are out for everyone to see. That's where God met Elijah. In the stillness and in the silence, Elijah knew a miracle of hope. Hope that there could be another moment. Hope that there was a possibility for the future. Hope that potential had not been lost. And it wasn't just Elijah to whom God offered that miracle. God also offered hope to the man who was tortured by the demons of his own life. In our gospel today, Jesus seems like a crazed man with stories wild as the frontier about demons driven into pigs that go off the side of a cliff. Almost as if we can see the motion picture in our minds. We've often focused on that image of pigs and a cliff and demons and missed that there's a person at the center of this story. A man, can you imagine the hopelessness that he felt day in and day out as he was shut out from his family and from his community, rejected from his employ and his entertainment, left to care for his own needs, and wasn't able to do so? He was a one-way train headed for a damaging train wreck, the kind of train wreck that only God could help. I believe that Jesus knew that. I believe Jesus knew that it would be his incredible action, his miracles in the life of the one formerly known as being possessed by demons. Jesus knew that this one, not even called by a name anymore, but described by the demons that afflicted him, was in need of hope in the most desperate ways. Jesus, who brings hope not just in encouragement and accompaniment, but who releases the man from his demons. He gives him hope, a new and renewed life away from the demons of the past. Now, the names of the demons are not spelled out one by one, but we can imagine guilt and shame, addiction and pain, betrayal and exclusion, much, much more. Jesus released him from those demons and gave him hope. This morning, we celebrate the miracle of hope in the still, small voice of God, being released from bondage of demons, and God's miracles today. I'd like to share with you this morning a video testimony, a miracle of hope that Joan Saller will share with you.
Hi, for anybody that doesn't know me, my name is Joan Saller. In May of 1997, I was baptized and joined the Westgrove United Methodist Church. I didn't grow up into the church, I grew into the church. I always believed in God, and I believed that He had a plan for me. But through all the pain and the loss that I experienced, I just couldn't figure out what that plan would be. I do know that He spoke directly to me, and He's asked me to share this, this real life experience that God spoke to me. After losing my daughter, I had to step right into the role of being a mother to my grandchildren and a great-grandchild. There wasn't time to grieve. I had to do it in private. And that's when God was carrying me, because I could not carry myself. So this is one time that God spoke to me in a clear, quiet voice, and it continues to amaze me today. I knew my grandchild was having a problem with addiction. I had no idea what the addiction was. I do know that I was becoming crazy with this addiction. It was 2:00 in the morning. I was sound asleep. I was woken up. I realized it was God. He told me, go to your grandchild's bedroom. the door will be locked. So I got a flashlight and I got a pick to pick the lock. He told me, get down on your knees, crawl across the room, and look under her bed. I did. It's where my first nightmare was. I found needles and many empty heroin bags. I was devastated, of course, but I, at that point, I crawled back out of her room, locked the door, shut the door. I went in the other room and I cried and I prayed and I tried to wrap all this around my mind, which I just couldn't do. So I waited for my grandchild to get up in the morning and I confronted her with this. And after all the denials, rehabs, intervention, I was losing my mind. It was making me crazy. That's when I realized I had to give it to God, because I could not walk on my own. I love the saying, footprints in the sand, because that is what most of my life is about. I know that through all the loss, God's carried me because I couldn't walk on my own, but I am walking on my own now. When you have faith and you trust in God and you open your heart, miracles happen. You have to believe, you have to trust God, and you have to give it to Him. That's what saved my life, and it's what saved family members, people I love. God continues to reach out to me and talk to me, and He's given me a purpose in life. I'm thankful to be able to share this personal experience about how God has worked in my life.
We give thanks to God for the courage that Joan shared with us in a testimony of one incredible way that God's still small voice gives hope, gives direction, restores families and relationship, and brings life where there may have been death. The miracle of hope is not just for one. It is God's miracle that saved the life of one, that continues to save the lives of many. As I think about the story of Jesus in the gospel with the demons and the pigs, there were those who gathered just to see what would happen, just a little bit of curiosity. What would this holy man do? They too found their lives changed by the story of another. The miracle of hope is the life of Elijah, and it's the life of a man who was changed from being exiled beyond community to restored to wholeness. It's the life of Joan, and it's the life of her granddaughter. The miracle of hope is what you and I need in the aftermath of the deadliest mass shooting in rememberable history in our country, as we remember in prayer those in Orlando on this day. The miracle of hope that God uses us in the midst of our own challenges to be that hope for others. The miracle of hope is that God is not yet done, and that evil never gets the last word. The miracle of hope is that God is still moving among us, bringing life out of what would have been death. Hope in the midst of incredible challenges that we face each and every day. On this day, let us praise God for the miracles in our lives. The ones we know about, the ones we've already heard, and the ones that are yet under our noses, that we don't know the details of how it's going to work out, but can lean on the fact that God is in the midst of working it out. Our God is truly still the still small voice, the one who urges us on, and the power that can drive evil and pain from our lives so we too can be fully restored into the whole persons that God created us to be. This is the miracle of hope. And this, my friends, is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.